Chapter 11, Identifying the Perpetrators of Corruption. In every corrupt transaction, there are at least two parties, sometimes many more. Those involved can be classified as corruptors and corruptees. Those who propose the corrupt transactions are the corruptors, and those who allow themselves to be corrupted by accepting the gratification involved in the crooked transaction are the corruptees. Corrupt transactions, due to the wide nature of the definition of corruption, as the abuse of public office for private gain, are, in effect, limitless in their ambit. Those involved in corruption are endlessly devising new and more imaginative ways of behaving corruptly, so as to keep ahead of the efforts of law enforcement agencies and to challenge the imagination of courts called upon to try the corrupt for the crimes the investigators and prosecutors seek to pin on them. The dishonesty of the corrupt is of the essence of the crime that they commit. Who, then, are the perpetrators of petty corruption? Usually, petty corruption occurs at the instance of an official seeking private gain from the abuse of the official power she or he holds by reason of employment in the public sector. It is not to say that the corruptee is exempt from initiating the corrupt transaction. When the official is encouraged to cut corners, speed up processes, or turn a blind eye to deficiencies in the process concerned, then the corruptor role is taken by the member of the public who offers an inducement to the official. Conversely, when the official makes it clear, usually subtly so, that to get a well-lubricated service, a lubricant, usually in the form of money or some other form of gratification, is required, then the corruptor is the official and the corruptee is the person who greases his or her palm. Those involved in the lubrication activity that is generally classified as petty corruption are selfishly advancing their own agendas, but they are not deliberately subverting the order of the day in the state in which their transaction takes place. For this reason, those involved in petty corruption are not regarded by some analysts as being dangerous, like kleptocrats and state capturers involved in grand corruption, which has the potential of completely undermining the established order of the state in which it is perpetrated. So, for example, Professor Robert Rotberg, author of The Corruption Cure, has recently written on this subject. There are two kinds of corruption, grand or venal, and petty or lubricating. The latter is more easily seen and experienced. Grand corruption is much more serious for citizens writ large and for the fate of whole countries, even when individuals are less aware of their pockets being picked by officials of the state. Professor Rotberg places kleptocrats among the venal, the grand corruptors. Kleptocracy destroys countries from within. Kleptocrats turn sometime democracies into criminal states that plunder national resources and national patrimonies, depriving citizens of their rights, their tax revenues, and their ability to determine policy priorities. The opportunities for petty corruption are limitless. They arise at the interface between citizen and public servant and can be most prevalent in situations in which an administrative discretion is exercised by the public servant. So, for example, a test for a driver's license can be turned into a series of failures that only end when the palm of the testing official is lubricated, irrespective of the skill or lack of skill at driving of the person taking the driving test. The perpetrators of the well-worn cool drink money request at roadblocks have reached legendary status in Africa and elsewhere in the world. Grand corruption most often finds expression in the efforts of kleptocrats to repurpose the state for their selfish and greedy purposes. The work of kleptocrats takes many and varied forms, as is illustrated by the range of corrupt activities that have been exposed in recent years. Kleptocrats come in many guises. The psychopaths and sociopaths are joined by the venal and unprincipled. All of them share the belief that they can enjoy impunity by reason of the power they think they wield. Transparency International celebrated 25 years of existence by compiling a list of the top 25 corruption scandals. The details of each scandal are available on the website of Transparency International. This list may include items of particular interest to specific readers and was last updated by Transparency International in August 2019. Introduction. 25 years ago, when Transparency International was founded, corruption was seen as the necessary price of doing business and something so deeply ingrained that exposing and fighting it was regarded as futile and even harmful. We live in a different world now. Citizens, media, and politicians across all regions actively condemn abuses of power. Such attitude change is partly due to exposure to past scandals and their consequences. We compiled a list of some of the biggest corruption scandals over the last 25 years that inspired widespread public condemnation, toppled governments, and sent people to prison. These scandals involve politicians across political parties and from the highest reaches of government. Staggering amounts of bribes and money laundering of epic proportions. In the wake of many of these scandals, many governments and international bodies committed to or implemented anti-corruption reforms, countered and in some cases recovered losses. While much progress has been made to improve accountability, raise awareness about how corruption happens, and change norms and perceptions, we still have a long way to go to learn from these scandals and fight corruption effectively. After listing each scandal in no particular order, TI provides the following taste of each of them. Siemens, corruption made in Germany. Did you know that certain bribes paid abroad were technically tax deductible for German companies until 1999? They could simply categorize them as useful expenditure as long as those expenses were not incurred in Germany and there were no foreign state officials involved. In 2006, however, it became clear that Siemens, one of Germany's biggest companies, was taking corporate bribery to a whole new level. For over a decade, it paid bribes to government officials and civil servants around the world, amounting to approximately $1.4 billion. While corrupt decision makers profited, citizens in the affected countries paid the cost of overpriced necessities such as roads and power plants. The company's transactions eventually caught the interest of authorities in several countries, including the US and Germany, which launched investigations, ultimately securing a historic sanction of $1.6 billion. Draining Nigeria of its assets. Sani Abacha was a Nigerian army officer and dictator who served as the president of Nigeria from 1993 until his death in 1998. His five-year rule was shrouded in corruption allegations, though the extent and severity of that corruption was highlighted only after his death, when it emerged that he took between $3 and $5 billion in public money. In 2014, the U.S. Justice Department revealed that it froze more than $458 million in illicit funds that Abacha and his conspirators had hidden around the world. For years, Nigeria has been fighting to recover the stolen money, but companies linked to the Abacha family have gone to court to prevent repatriation. Encouragingly, the secret British tax haven of Jersey recently announced it was putting $268 million, which had been stashed in a Deutsche Bank account, into an asset recovery fund that will eventually return the cash to Nigeria. Fujimori's Peru, death squads, embezzlement, and good public relations. How does a former president get approval from two-thirds of his citizens while standing trial for human rights violations? Peru's Alberto Fujimori partly managed this by using over 75% of the National Intelligence Service's unsupervised budget to bribe politicians, judges, and the media. Fujimori presented a clean image to the public during his presidency, while he used death squads to kill guerrillas and allegedly embezzled $600 million in public money. After fleeing to Japan in 2000, he became the first elected head of state to be extradited to his home country, tried and convicted for human rights abuses. With a sentence of more than 30 years in prison, Fujimori joins a long line of former Peruvian presidents who have been investigated or jailed for corruption. Kadyrov's Chechnya, bikers, boxers, and bribes. Imagine having to pay a bribe to keep your job. Chechens have to do exactly that every month. In Chechnya, everyone earning a wage pays an unofficial tax to an opaque fund controlled by the head of the republic, Ramzan Kadyrov. While the fund helped build homes and mosques and provided international aid to Somalia, it also allegedly paid for Kadyrov's lavish 35th birthday party and the celebrities that attended it. A $2 million boxing session with Mike Tyson and 16 motorbikes that Kadyrov very publicly gifted to a nationalist biker gang. Some Chechens lose half their income to this fund, which collects between $648 and $864 million a year, roughly the equivalent of two-thirds of Chechnya's budget. Kadyrov is also said to have helped himself to that national budget while committing human rights abuses that have led to sanctions from US authorities. Shutting down competition in Tunisia. There are no Big Macs in Tunisia. That's because the McDonald's franchise was awarded to a business that didn't have connections to the ruling family, and the government stopped the fast food chain from entering the country. From 1987 to 2011, President Ben Ali created laws that meant companies needed permission to invest and trade in certain sectors. This allowed him to shut competition out, whilst letting 220 family businesses monopolize numerous industries, including telecommunications, transport, and real estate. In 2010, these businesses produced 3% of Tunisia's economic output, but took 21% of the private sector profits. Unsurprisingly, the Ben Ali family amassed $13 billion. Tunisians paid a heavy price for this and missed out on employment opportunities, while new entrepreneurs and unconnected investors continued to fail. Ben Ali fled the country in 2011 and his assets were auctioned off, but few restrictive laws have been repealed and questionably connected firms with privileged access continue to reinforce the profit from inequality. Ukraine's missing millions. A golf course, ostrich farm, private zoo, and full-sized Spanish galleon replica were just some of the attractions of Mechirira, the multi-million-dollar 137-hectare estate of Ukraine's former president, Viktor Yanukovych. He and his family fled to Russia in February 2014 after civil unrest sparked deadly conflict, claiming over 100 lives, including by sniper bullets. 3 years after these tragic events, a Ukrainian court found Yanukovych guilty of high treason and sentenced him to 13 years in prison in absentia. As he fled, Yanukovych left behind documents that showed how he financed a life of luxury at the expense of his citizens. Using nominees and frontmen in a complex web of shell companies from Vienna to London to Liechtenstein, Yanukovych allegedly concealed his involvement while siphoning off Ukrainian public funds for personal benefit. In February, Swedish public broadcaster SVT reported that Yanukovych's shell company, with a Swedish bank account, received $3.7 million in a bribe in 2011 and executed two transactions with a total worth of $18 million in 2007 and 2014. Former President Viktor Yanukovych and his associates allegedly made $40 billion in state assets disappear. So far, the Ukrainian government has recovered just $1.5 billion. Ricardo Martinelli's spy game in Panama. Violation of privacy laws, embezzlement, abuse of authority, and illicit association, former Panamanian President Ricardo Martinelli was facing a variety of charges in his home country after the United States extradited him in 2018. While in office from 2009 to 2014, Martinelli allegedly rigged tenders for public contracts, including those for meals and school bags under Panama's largest social welfare scheme. Most notably, he is accused of having used public funds to monitor the phone calls of more than 150 people, including politicians and journalists. A Panamanian court recently cleared him of all charges after disallowing the evidence presented by prosecutors on a technicality. The court decision shows the extent of the judicial crisis in the country and raises serious concerns about judicial independence. The victims and the prosecution have stated their intention to appeal the verdict. The 1MDB fund from Malaysia to Hollywood. Authorities estimate that more than $4 billion was embezzled in what is one of the world's biggest corruption schemes, 1MDB. In 2009, the government of Malaysia set up a development fund, 1 Malaysia Development Berhad, or 1MDB. Chaired by the former Prime Minister, Najib Razak, the fund was originally meant to boost the country's economy through strategic investments, but instead it seems to have boosted the bank accounts of a few individuals, including the former Prime Minister himself, a fugitive financier, and a US rapper. Through a network of shell companies and layers of transactions, billions of dollars of development money was allegedly spent on luxury real estate in New York, paintings and gifts for celebrities, among other things. More than $700 million may also be held in Razak's private account, despite his claims that the money was a donation from a Saudi prince. Razak is currently facing charges for misappropriation of public funds. The Russian laundromat, with a little help from Moldova. According to a recent study, more than one-fifth of Russia's population lives in poverty, while 36% are at risk of poverty. The Russian laundromat, a massive money laundering scheme that siphoned off somewhere between 20 and 80 billion US dollars in fraudulent funds away from public services and the citizens who need them most, could be one of the reasons why. To move the money out of Russia, UK-registered shell companies issued fictitious loans to each other and Russian companies fronted by Moldovan citizens, guaranteed them. Once the debtors failed to pay back these loans, corrupt Moldovan judges fined Russian companies and ordered them to transfer funds to accounts in a Moldovan bank. From there on, the money flowed into Latvia and other EU banks, where it was ultimately cleaned. Formal investigations are currently underway in several countries, and the banks involved, Moldovkonbank, Danske Bank, Deutsche Bank, and HSBC, are in hot water for failing to comply with anti-corruption rules. Spain's largest corruption scandal, Gürtel. Over the last 10 years, the Gürtel case has grown into the biggest corruption scandal in Spain's democratic history, reaching all the way up to the president's office. At the center, the complex scheme funneled illicit donations and bribes to the then ruling party in exchange for rigged government contracts. If the name Gürtel doesn't sound very Spanish to you, that's no coincidence. It's the German translation of the surname of the businessman at the heart of the scandal, Francisco Correa, meaning belt in English. Correa eventually received a 51-year jail sentence, while a close ally and former treasurer of former president Mariano Rajoy was fined nearly 50 million US dollars. The scheme was discovered thanks to the help of Ana Garrido Ramos, a whistleblower who was also a key witness in this case, contributing to the collapse of the Rajoy government in June 2018. Venezuela's currencies of corruption. Less than 20 years ago, Venezuela was South America's richest country. Today, it is facing one of its worst political and humanitarian crises, and corruption has a key role in it. The plundering of the state-owned oil company, PDVSA, is exemplary of the widespread corruption at the highest levels of government. Once the basis of Venezuela's wealth, the country's vast oil reserves ultimately filled the pockets of a small group of individuals. With help from European and US banks, a group of Venezuelan ex-officials allegedly siphoned off 1.2 billion US dollars from PDVSA to the US, exploiting the country's complicated currency exchange system that only allows certain people and companies to exchange currencies at the official hugely inflated rate. Officials bought Venezuelan bolivars on the black market at an exchange rate of about 1 to 100 in 2014. That means they could have bought 100 million bolivar for $1 million. They then exchanged the money back at the official rate of 1 to 10, meaning they would get back $10 million, a tenfold increase. Two people involved in the scandal pleaded guilty last year, and investigators are currently looking into more details of the money laundering scheme. the Panama Papers. Following a huge leak from the Panamanian law firm Mossack Fonseca, the Panama Papers exposed the darkest secrets of the financial secrecy industry. The Panama Papers showed that Mossack Fonseca created 214,000 shell companies for individuals who wanted to keep their identities hidden. Behind the shell companies hid at least 140 politicians and public officials, including 12 government leaders and 33 individuals or companies who were blacklisted on the sanctions list by the United States government for offenses like trafficking and terrorism. Since the scandal erupted, several heads of government have resigned or faced prosecution. At least 82 countries launched formal investigations, and Mossack Fonseca closed. As a result of the Panama Papers, several countries committed to ending financial secrecy, with at least 16 countries or international bodies achieving at least one substantial reform and approximately 23 countries recovering at least $1.2 billion in taxes. Maldives, Paradise Lost. In the Maldives, tourism is the largest contributor to the economy. It's where the money is. So it should come as no surprise that the country's biggest corruption scandal is linked to tourism. In 2016, Al Jazeera revealed that approximately $1.5 billion was laundered through fake tourism investments in a scheme of astounding simplicity. The money was allegedly transported to the Maldives in cash, approved by the financial authority, and transferred to private companies, where it appeared as clean profits from tourism investments. That's not the only case of dodgy tourism deals in the Maldives. Another scandal that came to light in 2018 saw more than 50 islands and submerged coral lagoons leased out to tourism developers in no-bid deals. At least $79 million from the lease fees was embezzled into private bank accounts and used to bribe politicians. The scandal implicated local businessmen and international tourism operators, as well as former President Abdullah Yameen, who allegedly received $1 million in funds. Teodoron Obiang's luxury living in Equatorial Guinea. Teodoron Obiang's Instagram account celebrates luxury living, showing off his mansions, $1 million worth of Michael Jackson memorabilia, and supercars. However, Obiang funds this lifestyle by embezzling funds from Equatorial Guinea, where he served as vice president to his own father. This oil-rich country has the highest per capita income in Africa, but about three-quarters of its population lives in poverty. Since 1979, the ruling Obiang family, along with their cronies, have stolen billions of dollars from the people. As the most conspicuous and international spender in this kleptocracy, justice caught up with Teodoron Obiang several times. In 2014, the U.S. Department of Justice prosecuted him for money laundering and seized $30 million worth of assets. In 2017, French authorities found him guilty of embezzlement and confiscated his assets worth $35 million, while Switzerland seized 24 of his supercars. This is some progress, but still a drop in the ocean compared to the flood of ill-gotten money that has flowed out of the country. How the Gupta family captured South Africa through bribery. In what's been described as a modern coup, the Gupta family took control of South Africa through allegedly bribing politicians, giving lucrative jobs to President Zuma's children, and other ways of buying influence. AJ, Atul, and Rajesh Gupta captured the state. The Gupta family took as much as $7 billion in government funds, including a $4.4 billion supply contract with South Africa's Rail and Port Company. The Guptas also hired and fired government ministers, while the president fired tax officials and intelligence chiefs to protect them from investigation. In 2016, when a deputy minister went public about the $45 million that the Gupta family offered him to fire treasury officials, the Guptas fled the country. President Zuma has since lost government office and faces corruption and money laundering charges. His successor, President Ramaphosa, vowed to clean up the country. However, many officials from the previous administration remain in power. In the meantime, South Africa's economy struggles and the country continues to face high levels of inequality. Lebanon's garbage, the stench of corruption. Sometimes dirty money can lead to filthy cities. Since 2015, Lebanon has had a garbage crisis that's seen streets and beaches covered in rubbish bags, extreme stench, and water contamination. This threat to public health came about when Beirut and Mount Lebanon's main waste disposal company, Suklin, stopped collecting garbage. The company, which had a monopoly since the 1990s, was forced to close an overflowing landfill which was used for 12 years longer than scheduled. Lacking the infrastructure to dispose of the garbage elsewhere, the company let the rubbish bags pile up. How did a single company monopolize a key public service? It had strong connections with two of Lebanon's prime ministers. Lebanon also has a culture of patronage where government contracts are often won through political connections and bribes. Scandal provoked a popular movement called You Stink, which called for government to clean up the streets and its corruption problems. FIFA's football parallel universe. The indictments on 27 May 2015 of 9 current and former FIFA officials on charges of racketeering and money laundering changed the sporting landscape overnight. Suddenly, a system of rampant, systemic, and deep-rooted corruption was brought starkly into global focus. The surprising re-election of FIFA President Sepp Blatter, who presided over a culture of impunity, exposed just how much football exists in a parallel universe without accountability. It is easy to understand why public trust in FIFA fell to an all-time low. In 2017, Transparency International and Forza Football, a football fan opinion platform with more than 3 million subscribers, completed a survey of 25,000 fans from over 50 countries to find out what they thought. At the time, 53% of fans had no confidence in FIFA, and only a quarter of fans globally thought that newly re-elected President Gianni Infantino restored trust in FIFA. Myanmar's dirty jade business. Myanmar is a tragic example of how rich natural resources are often exploited by the corrupt while causing social and environmental disasters that affect ordinary people. In 2015, a report revealed that corrupt military officials, drug lords, and their cronies had been illegally exploiting jade mines in northern Myanmar and smuggling the stones to China. In total, more than $31 billion in jade stones were extracted in 2014 alone, the equivalent of half of Myanmar's GDP in the same year. Yet the majority of people living in the mining regions and working in the mines did not see any of the money, and as much as $6.2 billion was lost in taxes. At the same time, areas rich in jade have been shaken by armed conflicts, while aggressive exploitation has led to environmental damages and mining accidents that have cost hundreds of lives. Despite efforts of the Myanmar government to rein in the illicit jade business, Mining still poses a serious risk to the environment and the people living in the region. Fighting impunity in Guatemala. Approximately 90% of crimes in Guatemala go unpunished, so taking action against impunity should be a priority. At least that's what International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, backed by the UN, has been doing successfully for the past 12 years. In 2015, thanks to the efforts of the Commission Against Impunity, the former president of Guatemala was forced to resign because of a corruption investigation that ultimately led to his conviction. Since then, the commission has been investigating dozens of high-level corruption cases and enjoys strong popular support. But when the commission started investigating current president Jimmy Morales and his family in 2017, Morales unilaterally revoked the agreement with the UN, which underpins the ability of the commission to operate in the country. Over the past years, the president has been leading a fight against anti-corruption efforts in Guatemala, ignoring rulings of the Guatemalan Constitutional Court. Turkey's Gas for Gold scheme. In a real-life version of House of Cards, Turkey found itself embroiled in a massive corruption scandal in 2013. Turkish police officers raided several homes, including two belonging to families of the ruling Turkish elite. During the investigation, police confiscated some $17.5 million in cash, money allegedly used for bribery. At the heart of the scandal was an alleged gas for gold scheme with Iran, involving businessman Reza Zarab. Zarab was reportedly involved in a money laundering scheme as part of a strategy to take advantage of a loophole in the US-led sanctions on Iran. All 52 people detained were connected with the ruling Justice and Development Party, AKP. President Erdogan remains defiant about the scandal, dismissing or reassigning thousands of police officers and hundreds of judges and prosecutors, including those leading the investigation, and passed a law increasing government control of the judiciary. The Azerbaijani laundromat. Some governments make genuine efforts to improve their human rights record and strengthen democracy. Others may try to clean up their reputation by bribing foreign politicians. Azerbaijani leaders allegedly bribed the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe delegates to talk up Azerbaijan's human rights record and water down critical election monitoring reports. The $3 billion US slush fund used four British shell companies with accounts in Denmark's biggest bank to pay bribes, launder money, and buy luxury goods. While real accountability is yet to come for the culprits that undermined Europe's core human rights organization, there have been some consequences. An independent PACE investigation found several delegates engaged in corrupt and unethical behavior, resulting in sanctions for these individuals. Transparency International Germany also recently filed a criminal complaint against German members of parliament who allegedly took bribes. Danske Bank is under investigation for this and other money laundering scandals and was forced to shut its branch that handled the dirty money. Paradise Papers, where the rich and powerful hide their money. Countries lose around $500 billion per year in corporate tax and further billions from individuals. That's enough to pay for the UN's aid budget 20 times over and bring many nations out of poverty. In 2017, a major investigation exposed a vast secret parallel financial universe based on a huge leak of documents from the Bermuda-based elite legal firm Appleby. Dubbed the Paradise Papers, The investigation shed light on the widespread use of secretive tax havens by 120 politicians, royals, oligarchs, and fraudsters. The Paradise Papers show how corporations use these havens to reduce their taxes drastically and in some cases commit crimes. For example, offshore secrecy put the commodities giant Glencore in a position to bribe the former president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Joseph Kabila, while it negotiated for mining licenses. The leak helped expose this and other criminal investigations, accelerated UN action against tax havens, and inspired citizens around the world to demand an end to the paradise havens that make life difficult for ordinary citizens. Operation Lava Jato, clean cars, dirty money. What began in 2014 as the Lava Jato investigation, or Operation Car Wash, involving a network of more than 20 corporations, including Brazilian oil and construction giants Petrobras and Odebrecht, has since grown into one of the biggest corruption scandals in history. This case has it all: dirty money, foreign bribery, illicit financing of political parties, criminal networks, fraudulent business executives, crooked politicians, and a system of corruption embedded so deeply within Brazilian politics and business that exposing one piece started a chain reaction. Involving nearly $1 billion in bribes and more than $6.5 billion in fines, it's difficult to find a region in the world unaffected by Lava Jato's reach. The case extends across at least 12 countries in Latin America and Africa, more than 150 politicians and business people convicted in its wake, including one president and indirectly two successors. The Troika Laundromat. Half of Russia's wealth is allegedly stashed in offshore tax havens. Leaked data from Troika Dialogue, once Russia's largest private investment bank, shows that the bank created at least 75 shell companies in tax havens around the world. When opening accounts in European banks, such as now defunct Ukio Bankas in Lithuania, Raiffeisen in Austria, and Commerzbank in Germany, the real owners hid behind the paperwork of unwitting Armenian seasonal workers. These companies channeled at least $26 billion between 2006 and 2013. Some of this money flowed out of the Troika laundromat and into the global financial system as clean cash. As a result, Russian oligarchs and politicians secretly acquired shares in state-owned companies, bought real estate both in Russia and abroad, purchased luxury yachts, and hired music superstars for private parties. Andrei Babiš, conflict of interest in Chechnya. In early June 2019, almost 30 years after peaceful protests led to the fall of communism in the former Czechoslovakia, people in Prague, Chechnya, took to the streets again. This time, they were calling on Prime Minister Andrei Babiš to resign. The protests gathered momentum after the European Commission confirmed that Babiš had significant conflicts of interest regarding his private businesses. The EC was following a complaint from our national chapter in Chechnya, which revealed that one of the Prime Minister's many companies, Agrofert, had received more than $19 million in EU agricultural subsidies. In 2017, Babiš put the company into two trusts, but remained the ultimate beneficiary of these funds, hiding behind an additional layer of secrecy. In Chechnya, beneficial owners like Babiš are not publicly known, but in neighboring Slovakia, owners disclose who they really are when bidding on public contracts. Thanks to Slovakian law and some good detective work from Transparency International Czech Republic, the EU recently ruled that Agrofert must repay the money it took from taxpayers over the past 2 years. Whether the corrupt become involved in petty or grand corruption, in all their respective forms, the flaw in the character and the propensity for dishonesty are latent in those who succumb to the allure of corrupt activities. Some do so out of necessity, because they are in dire financial need. Others are motivated by pure greed and by the expectation that they can get away with their corrupt activities because the state is not up to the task of holding them accountable. Either way, those who are corrupt are criminals and should be regarded as such by those who value their freedom under the rule of law.